Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come this morning. After reading his word, and here we see the picture of the kingdom of God. Here we see the picture and the nature of our salvation, which we have celebrated in the Lord's Supper this morning, which has been celebrated in song and in testimony. So we see this morning from living examples in our own midst, the way of God, the way of God to come to him, to find him and to know him in a real relationship. So let's call unto him this morning and ask that he bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives. Father, we thank you for the way of your salvation, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for so abundantly and so freely giving to us the forgiveness, the pardon of our sins. We just help, Father, pray that you'll help us to look at this verse this morning that will teach us and tell us of you and of your marvelous grace for us, your amazing grace for us. Lord, we pray that you will show us and demonstrate your power in our everyday lives while we live on this earth. And we want to give you the glory for all of this. And so we just ask, Father, this morning that you bless the reading and the hearing of your word. We desire that your spirit bring a deep conviction and a deep discernment and a deep conviction in our hearts about your amazing grace and power and love. And we just ask it today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, even though we don't have a lot of time left this morning, I'm not going to go over too much, but this is an amazing beatitude. Verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is one of the amazing beatitudes that we have here. It is actually the beatitude that encompasses all of the rest. Those before it, and then the two that are after it. And as we have talked about, as we've seen, we've looked at in recent weeks, as we've come and looked at each one of these verses, each one of these beatitudes separately, we see, we understand that there is a progression that takes place. First, the poor in spirit. Then they who mourn or grieve over their sin. Then those who humble themselves before God. And then the soul that does that is the one that experiences the transforming grace of God in her heart and their life. And so from that moment on, there's a hunger and a thirst for the righteousness of God, to know him and to know his righteousness and to love him. And then the natural outflow of that is that having received mercy and having called out to God for mercy, God bestows mercy faithfully, and then that becomes a quality or a characteristic of your life and my life, and that we are merciful to others as we go about our own daily lives and our daily living. And then we come to this next progression, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones who shall see God. I'd like to just suggest this morning that what we are reading here in this passage, in these first 12 verses, is the way to God's salvation. It is the way to the kingdom of God. And it is, by the way, it is the way of the cross. That reminded me of the old hymn that, I don't know how long it's been since we've sung it here in this church. Remember that old song, The Way of the Cross Leads Home? How many of you remember that song? Okay, many, most here. Just let me read the words again because it kind of sums up what we're going to be talking about here in this verse. The writer of this hymn says, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I must needs go on in the way of the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod, if I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God. And then this last verse, then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. And that's what Jesus is doing here to this multitude. Having looked out and seen the lives of these people and their oppression and their suppression and their misery and the deception of the religion of the Pharisees that was there. And they were grasping at trying to find their way to God. They were the people of God. Yet they were under the Roman government, the Roman authority, the cruel Roman authority. And so life was not blessed. Life was not happy. Life was not fulfilling. They had the Pharisees who were blind in themselves, and they had blinded the people who were coming after God. And there's an application today in our religious thinking and our religious affairs. Oftentimes we change up the Word of God, or we miss something in the Word of God because we've always done it that way before. We've always practiced it a certain way, and so we refuse to change. We refuse to be open. We refuse to be led by God in our daily spiritual lives. And so it was much like that when Jesus looked out at this great multitude out there. They were starving for the truth. They were hungry for God. They were out there wondering, and they didn't know where to go. They didn't know where to look. They didn't know where to find any of the answers. But this beatitude, as Jesus now comes and gives these in succession, now he brings to them, to their heart, the very center of what everyone is desiring, what everyone is looking for. Everyone wants to see God. Everyone those who care want to see God. That's the desire of their heart, to be with God forever and ever in unending eternity there with God in heaven. And so we see that in their lives spiritually, and that's what Jesus perceived as he looked out there. He saw that they were under a legalistic system, and it was very harsh, and it was very difficult to keep everything. There were thousands of laws concerning how to live your life according to the commandments and according to the Levitical law and all those types of things. But we also have to remember that these people were brought up spiritually, religiously in their lives. And so they knew about Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. What's the message in Isaiah? Isaiah says there's a Redeemer who's coming, and he will forgive sin. They were searching for that. They were looking for that. Then there is Ezekiel, who declared that man must be clean before God. Then there was David, who wrote all the Psalms, and I don't know how many he wrote, the majority of them. But in one of his Psalms, he made this statement that kind of sums up all of them. It says, blessed is the man whose sins are not imputed to him or accounted to him. And then we go over to the New Testament and we read of Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night. And here he was a ruler, but he was a seeker. He was the one who acknowledged out of his own life and out of his own ministry, so to speak, that he didn't have the answers. He was looking for answers. He was one of the leaders who was supposed to be providing the answers for the people. But he himself was searching and looking for those, and he could not find it. So he comes to Jesus by night, and he asks him, well, he declares him, he says, I know that you are a man sent from God, and look at all the wonderful things that you have done. And so this conversation transpires between our Lord and between Nicodemus, and it's not very long until Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and gives him the answer that he's looking for to a question that he hadn't even asked yet. And what did he say to him? He said, you must be born again. And so there is the heart of it all. You and I must be born again. Men and women must be born again of the Spirit of God. And in our day, in our world, in the age of communication that we live in, we try to soften the gospel. We try to make it easy. We try to make it pleasant so that more people will come. They'll come and they'll follow along with us, and everybody will just be happy. Well, Jesus presents a different kind of happiness here. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are in spiritual poverty, those that have look at themselves and then they look at God and they see and they realize that they are absolutely bankrupt before God. And so they see that they have no power in themselves, no good thing in themselves that can acquire heaven out of their own merit. And so that leaves a person completely desperate, completely destitute, but Jesus declares that to them. And then the second beatitude, blessed are they who, having seen themselves before God as they really are and seen Him for who He really is, it causes a grief to come over the soul. And so the soul mourns and grieves over its condition before God. And the only thing one who's really touched by God can do is to humble themselves. And so the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so they come and they bow themselves down before God. And then the next one, they hunger and thirst for righteousness. They ask of God. They want to know what the truth really is. And so they seek mercy. And some cry out for mercy. They go, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Sometimes that's the only sinner prayer that needs to be spoken. Have mercy on me, a sinner. It's the same thing. The condition of the heart is I see my need before God and I realize who I am and what I am and where my position is in life, and I'm bankrupt and I'm nowhere and I'm not going to find anything that I'm searching for and looking for, and certainly I cannot see God and I will never see God. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Being a leader there, he should have been the one supplying the answers, but he did not. He came seeking and searching. And so, Jesus tells them, you must be born again. Then look with me in John chapter 6 and verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And so there are the people who sought to know, the people want to know, how do we find God? And this group came to Jesus and they were there and they said, what can we do that we might work the works of God? Because that was what was on their heart. That's what's on the heart and the minds and the lives of people in our world today. They want the truth. They want real reality. They want to know God. They want to know who He is. So John chapter 6 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. You see, the message is simple. The message is plain. To do the work of God is to believe on Jesus Christ and to believe on the work which He did. And so Jesus is preaching this sermon here to this great multitude, and He's showing them the way to God. The poor in spirit, those that mourn, those that are meek, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and those who seek the mercy of God. And then He comes and he sums it all up, because in verse 8 we really have the summation of all the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, those who have found God, and those who have received from God the forgiveness of their sins. They are those who are the pure in heart. And then what's the promise with that one? For they shall see God. So what is it that people are looking for? They're looking for righteousness. They're looking for the answer, the way to God. A lot of different people have a lot of different answers for that question. How do you find God? You tell them the gospel. He says, well, how do I know I can believe? How do I know that that's the way? What other way is there? For you see, it's written in the hearts of men that God is who He is. He's righteous. And people know that it's wrong to lie. They know it's wrong to steal. They know it's wrong to kill. They know it's wrong on those things because God has written His law in the hearts of men. Now, some have so hardened their hearts that they no longer feel a conscience about that. But nevertheless, it's written in the heart of every human being, the law of God. And people understand and know that they fall short of that. Just like the Pharisees in the day of in Jesus' day there, they were searching and looking for something that they did not have, that they could not find, they could not grasp. They couldn't find the way. But then John the Baptist came on the scene and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then John the Baptist had his head, he was beheaded. And as soon as he was beheaded, Jesus began his public ministry. What was the first sermon? What was the first message out of the mouth of our Lord when he began his public ministry? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that's the message. That's the message the church should be giving to the world. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you want to know who God is, you've got to come to him on his terms. You've got to see yourself for who you are and what you are. And you've got to repent then of your sins. And so here Jesus says to them in the middle of all of these, here, just past the middle of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for these are the ones who are going to see God." That's the heart of the answer. People want to know who God is. They want to see God. And they know that one day they're going to die. And they, if they have any kind of belief of any kind, so to speak, they know that they're going, when they die, that the uncertainty's out there. But those who've heard and searched out the matter know there's heaven and hell. And nobody, I've only met a few people who said that they just choose to go to hell is to not play a golf game. I've shared that before, you know, that didn't make sense to me and that type of thing. But people aren't willing to give up what they love in their life for the truth and for the way. And that's what Jesus is saying here. People are not willing to give up what they have going in their lives. They want to have the best, quote unquote, of both worlds. They want to have what they want in life. And so at best, many come and they want to add Jesus to what they're already doing, what they already have. And you can miss heaven that way. You can miss heaven in that manner, in that way. So he says to them, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for these are the ones who are going to see God." And so we see this beautiful sequence happening here as Jesus unfolded the way to God, the way of the truth there. So I want us just to look at two or three words here and then we'll close. Well, what does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, the word heart is the first word we need to look at there, because it's the word cardia, it's where we get the word for cardiac and those types of things. And it speaks in the Jewish world at that time, it was the word that spoke of the inside part of the human person, of the personality. It was the seat or the very center of one's personality. It was not emotions. Now, today we confuse that quite a bit. It's not emotions. And people think, well, if I feel this and my heart flutters and everything, then this is what I feel and this is my heart. And you hear people say, "I've got to follow my heart." And you better follow your heart if your heart's right with God. But if your heart's not right with God, you need to question what you're following. And so the word heart means the very center part of our being and the very center part of our life. And it's associated in both the Old and the New Testament with the thinking. The heart is what we think with. And so it is what you and I have to do in our minds with, for instance, Jesus said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So it's in the heart that we think with that causes us to make choices and decisions. It drives the human will. And that's what the heart is. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are pure in the heart." The very thinking processes of our being and of our makeup is where we have been challenged and where we have been changed and where we have set our hearts to go forth as we seek and as we look for God and His will and His perfect will in our lives. And so it's our mind that controls our lives. And it's what we commit ourselves to in our minds, in our hearts, that make a difference. It either makes it or breaks it. And so we then are to come, as he says, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, those who have experienced the cleansing power of God." And I would just say to all of us here this morning, in this place, You look back at the time in your life when you became a Christian, when you were converted, and you ask yourself this question, you examine yourself, you examine your heart, take a good look at your life. What is your life about? Does it center around the real thing? Is it the truth of God that has come to your mind and come to your heart? And have you, since you professed Christ, at whatever point that was in your life, have you seen, have you recognized, do you know, do you experience the grace of God empowering you to hunger after God and to pursue God and to search and to love Him with all of your heart? That's a powerful question. Very powerful word there. Very powerful statement that Jesus gives us here in this thing. So He says that blessed are those who are pure in heart. So we now look at the word pure. And it means to cleanse something. It means to purge it or to separate it from that which is impure. That it means unmixed. We don't mix our lives up with the things of this life and of this world and the things of God. They don't jive. They don't come together, because God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. The way of the world is not the way of God. The world is at enmity with God." And that means the world is the enemy of God. And that's evident everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, and everywhere we see this. And so there is a cleansing that must take place. And so now, in this progression of thought here, as Jesus proclaimed and declared the way to God with all the promise, we see it all there. It's, first of all, it's the kingdom of heaven. And then it's the comfort that people are looking for and desiring in their life. It's inheriting the earth. It's being filled with a hunger because of the hunger and the thirst that people have. It is seeing God. If we can go ahead just a little bit, it says it's being called a peacemaker, being the children of God. And for righteousness' sake and the things that are there that we have yet to look at. And so there is this unmixed state of being in our lives that we give God and we give Christ first precedence, first priority over everything in our lives. Well, just want to read a few verses of Scripture here, then we'll close this morning. What does it mean? He says, blessed are the pure in heart, because he's talking about one quality, the one quality of God that's to be the quality for you and for me. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, Peter says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and the same chapter, verse 48, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You see, that's the goal, holiness. To be holy, and I ask you this morning, is your life holy? Or are there some unclean things in your life? Have you mixed the things of this life and this world with the things of God? That is detestable to the Lord. But Jesus here promises, blessed are the pure in heart, for these are the ones who shall see God. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes. So we come to close this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to listen to Psalm 24, verses 1 through 5. In the Bible it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they that dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Then the psalmist asks this question, who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who is it? Who is it that has a pure heart? Listen, verse 4, the one that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He is the one that shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This morning, here's the truth. We are not acceptable to God as we are born into this world and into this life. We are only made acceptable to God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Through his suffering and his death, he shed his blood. Blood had to be shed for the payment of sin. And Jesus did that. He did that for you. He did it for me. He did it for the whole world. for those who would come. He did it for those who would come. Jesus shed his blood. He died. That's the penalty of sin. But on the third day he rose. No man ever came back to life in their own ability, their own account. But Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself and I take it up of myself. Jesus did that for you and for me. If you're here this morning and you cannot honestly say that when you die, whenever that is, whether it's today, tomorrow, whether it's 30 years from now or 50 years from now, do you know? Do you know, because of the uncertainty of life, do you know where you would spend eternity? Are you like the people that Jesus preached to in that day? Are you searching and seeking and looking for happiness and for pleasure and for all of these things? Are you looking for those? If you look for in any other place other than what we've been talking about, other than in Jesus Christ, it's all vain. But God wants you today to know and to understand that if you are lost in your sins, if the punishment and the wrath of God for your sins is still upon you, imputed to you, that God has made a way for you to be delivered, to be set free, to be justified. God is ready and willing to come into your heart, into your life. He's ready and willing to forgive you of your sins and to give you a pure heart. He's ready to give you a pure heart. If you're here today and you say, you know, that's me. I need what God has to give. I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need to give my life to God in repentance. I need to follow Jesus Christ in faith. And I need to have what God only can give. And if you're here today and that's your position with God, you need to do one of two things. You need to call out to God right now out of your heart and pray to Him and cry out for mercy and ask Him to forgive you and to save you. And if you're kind of uncertain about that, there's a second thing you can do. In a few moments when we stand and sing, I'll be down at the front. You come down, I'll meet you at the front, and you and I can talk and we'll pray together. And I'll lead you in prayer to God. Because God will give you. He will give you mercy. He will grant you the forgiveness of sins. He will make your heart pure. If you're here today and you say, I know that I know Him, but my heart's not pure. You may be one of the multitudes of professing Christian people who put a lot of stuff in the world in your heart. I'm here to tell you this morning, without apology, that it's sickening to God. It's sickening to God the things that we watch on television, read in the magazines and the papers, the things that we do, the things that we look upon. That's why the church seemingly does not have power. Because there's no separation from the world. So the offer this morning, the invitation has two offers this morning. Today, if you're lost, come to Him. If you prayed and received Christ while I've been talking here, then you need to step out and come to the front and tell me. Now, we'll just share that with the church. I'll help you share that with the church. If you're here today and you've not prayed, but you know that that's the condition of your heart, you need to come forward and I'll pray with you that you might know God today before you leave this place. Then the third thing is, if your life is mixed up with the world and unclean, then you need to come today and repent on your face before God. Come to the altar. You say, I don't want to come to the altar. Pride will keep you from humbling yourself before God and receiving the forgiveness of your sins as a Christian, as a child of God. So whatever God has spoken to your heart today, you come and you do, as we sing, stand singing here in just a moment.